Tonight, I want you to put your fist under your chin like a deep thinker. And I want you to put on your thinking hat. Because we're going to go places tonight that will help you understand the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and understand the tree of life. And help you understand death itself. And why men die and women die physically. I want to use for a subject. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be in the second chapter of Genesis. We're going to read verse 7 and 8. We're going to go down to verse 15 through 18. And then we'll be going to the third chapter, the last three verses of the third chapter. Are you there? Verse 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put, don't miss the word put, the man whom he had formed in that garden. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, there's that word again, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The last three verses of chapter 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Obviously, Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree. And now they know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth, that is Adam, put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming swords, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want to use for a subject tonight two trees in the Garden of Eden. You may be seated. I am convinced when God formed man from the dust of the ground, I am convinced that it was not done in the Garden of Eden. I am convinced that due to biblical insight and revelation, it probably was, the first man was probably formed at Bethlehem of Judea. The Bible says that after God had created the Eden, the garden, he put the man there. Notice there was a phrase, he put the man in the garden. And then when he removed him from the garden, it said he sent him away from the garden in which he was made. He sent him away into where he was made. And so as I read this scripture, and I'm always fascinated about the creation of man, and I'm fascinated about how God did what he did, wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there in that delivery room of Adam? And I believe God created him and took him to the Garden of Eden and placed him there. And there God made and created a living soul. Always looked at this, the creation of man, always looked at this with a little bit of wonder in my heart. There was something about me that kept saying, surely God just didn't blow on him and made him. There's something about me that, you know, I don't think God got a hold of the man after he created the man and blowed him up like a balloon. The Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I believe that every organ, every intestine of Adam was formed by God. I believe that God formed his heart, made his lungs, formed his organs in his body, made a structure of bones, put over those structure of bones and organs the biggest organ we have, skin. I believe in the process, when he breathed into Adam's nostrils, I believe God was imparting something different to Adam than he did when he created the angels. I believe he just created the angels and gave him spirit to live. But Adam is going to impart, God is going to impart himself in Adam. God is going to put himself in Adam. And like he's doing intensive care, he's making the organs, he's creating the blood. He's making Adam, he's breathing on Adam. The Bible says he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and I think that was a continual breathing. God was giving him breath as he made Adam a masterpiece of creation. In that process, he made blood in Adam. And that blood being created in Adam was now going to be ignited by organs, a heart pump, and the blood is going to begin to circulate in the body. And at that junction, Adam had innocent blood. He had pure blood. And he not only had pure blood, it was mingled with the life and the spirit of God, his creator. God had embedded in Adam, the man, the first man, Adam, he had put in him his own breath, his own spirit, his own life. And he had mingled his spirit with the blood and the water of that man. And God had inhabited that body, breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, someone that could rejoice in the things of God, someone that could rejoice in the blessings of God. And God tells Adam, everything's going to be all right as long as you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You'll be fine as long as you do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, there was more to it than just God breathing upon Adam. He said, let us make man after our own image, after our own likeness, there in verse 27 and 28, there in chapter 1 of Genesis. We're going to make him because he's going to bear the image. He's going to, the second Adam, the last Adam, is going to bear the image of the first Adam. You see, God had a plan. And that plan was to make someone like him. Someone like his own son. And he did so in the person of Jesus Christ. But we need to understand something that is very precious about this. The blood, the body doesn't start living until the blood starts circulating. And when the blood started circulating, the flesh lived. And at the same time, God has attached his spirit to the innocent blood of Adam. And God says, the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the day that I will disconnect from your contaminated blood. That's basically what he was saying. Well, if you ever eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I will disconnect from your innocent blood, because your innocent blood will not be innocent any longer. It'll be contaminated. And so the Spirit of God leaves Adam and Eve the minute they eat of the tree, and they die immediately spiritually. Their body's still alive because of the blood pumping. Their body's still alive because of the breath that God gave them, the spirit of man. But the spirit of God has been disconnected because of contaminated, sinful blood, sinful flesh. And so God is showing Adam That the day you eat of it will be the day you die. And I want you to understand, the minute Adam ate of the tree, the second, the millisecond that Adam ate of the tree and Eve ate of the tree, they died spiritually. God's spirit withdrew. And their bodies began to die. Let's look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm sure you've read that and you thought, what's this all about? Is God against us knowing stuff? Is God intimidated by us getting as smart as he is? Trust me, that's never going to happen. Is God intimidated that you're going to learn something that he don't want you to learn? That's not what he's saying here in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to open up your eyes. If you've never seen it, this is going to open your eyes like you've never saw it before. Notice in verse 15. Now let's go down to verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's in chapter 2, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. My spirit will be disconnected. I will not be connected to contaminated blood. And the moment you do that, you die spiritually. Now you have the man spirit is there because the breath, the life that God gave him. But I don't think we understand just how much God mingled with man when he made man. He made man blood. He put blood in man. He put a circulation in man. He put breath in man. He put a vocal cord in man to articulate to God. He put a windpipe in man that could sing and pray and worship God. He put a mind in man that could think and look to God and comprehend the thing. He made a masterpiece. And he mingled his blood, his life. You say, well, how did he mingle his blood? God hasn't no blood. Oh, he mingled the last Adam. In the first Adam, the last Adam that would come, there was a promise to the first Adam that there would be another that could do what he couldn't do, the last Adam. And that's Jesus Christ, of course. Now, let me show you something that just helped me so much as I read about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. First of all, God is not against you knowing good stuff. How many would agree that Adam and Eve knew when they ate of the tree that was sweet and all the different trees, they knew it was good? How many know when they looked at the clear waters in Eden, they knew it was good? In fact, when Adam saw his wife for the first time, wow, good. So God was not opposed to them knowing good. He didn't want them to know good and evil. Let me ask you a question. We preached about this Sunday morning. Who is good? Nobody's good. Who is good? God is good. There's none good but God. And so God is saying to Adam, I don't want you to know me and my plan and everything I'm going to do. I don't want you to know that. I want you to be innocent. I don't want you to know my whole plan. It's kind of like today, isn't it? Don't want you to know it all. I don't want you to know my plan because God is good. And he said, I don't want you to know evil. I don't want you to know the devil either. And in that statement, I don't want you to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's saying, I don't want you dragged into my battle. You're innocent. You're in the garden. You're enjoying life. You're blessed. You got your wife, Eve, and Adam. You're just so blessed. And I don't want you dragged into evil. I don't want you dragged into the battle that I'm having with Lucifer. I don't want you dragged into my plan. I want you to just enjoy life. But when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they saw that they were in a battle. God is good all the time. The devil is bad all the time. The devil can't do good. He couldn't do good to help himself. There's no way he could do good. The devil's evil. And so when it says not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I think God is trying to say, I don't want you dragged into my battle. I don't want you dragged into this battle. I don't want you dragged into this conflict. And as long as you don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you won't be dragged into that conflict. But Adam and Eve did eat of the tree. And because of that, they were dragged into the conflict. This helping some of you? Is this starting to open eyes a little bit? It really helps me when I look at this. It really opens things in my life. And so the minute Adam and Eve eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they knew God in a different way. They knew that God was in a battle. They knew that God had a plan for redemption. And that battle and plan of redemption was the sacrifice of innocent blood. That battle that they recognized when the coats of skin were skinned by God Himself, blood was shed. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and blood was shed. And from that juncture on, when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were thrust into the redemption plan of God. There would be bloodshed from Cain all the way to the end of the age. And there would be a blood letting out on the cross of Calvary to the last Adam that would redeem mankind from their sinful, wicked life and soul. I'll tie all this together in just a little bit, and you'll think, wow, this is just incredible. Well, yeah, God is incredible. And so they were sucked into a battle, and that battle ended up making them be thrust out of the garden. They were removed from the garden because of that. They were not permitted to eat of the tree of life. Now, remember when I said that when God made Adam and Eve, now, He didn't have to make Eve out of the dust of the ground. He just used the blood and the organ, the tissues from the side of Adam to make Eve his wife. So he had the blood, he had the spirit, he had the mingling of God's presence from the side of Adam, and he produced a wife, Eve, for Adam, and that was done. And that's the reason he didn't do it from the dust of the ground. He did it through the side of Adam, which was pointing to one day, the side of the last Adam. And when he's pierced on the cross of Calvary, blood and water comes out, and a bride is born through the shed blood of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And so, we have the tree of life. Now, when the blood stops pumping, the body dies. Follow me? And when the blood stops pumping, the spirit of man departs because the body dies. If you're a Christian, and God has ignited your spirit life once again, and you've been born again, God's spirit lives in you with your spirit, and God's spirit lights the spirit of man, for the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and God lights you on fire, and God's spirit, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God's spirit lives in you. And at the time of if your blood stops circulating, your body dies. Your spirit of your body leaves. And the Spirit of God leaves, but He doesn't leave alone. He takes your soul with Him. And He takes you back to heaven. If you're a Christian, isn't that good? The Lord began to show me that this is an incredible thing when you think about it. When Adam was created, there was blood in him, and obviously God attached Himself to that blood, mingled with the organs, the life, the mind, the spirit, with Adam. And when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God departed. The spirit was still there, but the blood was contaminated, and that made the body die 930 years later. Adam died at 930 years old. Took that long for the body to die, but it died. But God has made a way. He left the contaminated blood. God's spirit will not connect to contaminated blood. But oh, if you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. If you're changed and purged by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and God's blood comes on you, and the Spirit of God's blood flows over you, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, can reconnect with you. Woo! I told you better keep your thinking hat on. You say, where do you get that? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, that's silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That's that good that Adam didn't know about, but was manifested in these last days for you, and we know about it. Come on, your chin ought to drop right now. This is good stuff. And so, because of the blood of Jesus, uncontaminated blood, pure and precious blood, when you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and born again by the Spirit of God, you become a new creature in Christ, and the Spirit of God once again can connect to you through the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you something. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. This is he that come by water, that water simply means born of the flesh and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water or flesh only, but by water and blood, flesh and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, and the water, the flesh, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Wow. So good. So good. Oh, I haven't got to the good part yet. Let's take a look at the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. We'll look at verse 45 down to 47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. When was he made a living soul? When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He was made a living soul, the first Adam. He was mingled with God. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam was come to quicken us and make us alive. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. That's talking about the first Adam. And after that, which is the spiritual, talking about the last Adam. And the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven. In other words, Jesus Christ came from heaven. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Jesus Christ, God among us. Jesus Christ, holy blood of God. Jesus Christ, last Adam, to redeem first Adam and all of us in between from our sins and give us the precious pure blood of God. That pure blood forgives us of our sin. That pure blood washes our past away. That pure blood cleanses us and purifies us. But wait. Not just does the blood cleanse and forgive us, the blood ignites a new life and allows God to connect back with that uncontaminated blood. God now will connect to your spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you're responding. The tree of life. The tree of life. Let's look at the tree of life just for a minute in the last three verses of chapter 3 of Genesis. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. He knows now there's a battle, there's a conflict. He knows that God has a deep plan. There's something unfolding. He knows evil. He knows Satan is there. But notice what he says. Because he knows good and evil, and now lest he put his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Well, why did God run them out of the garden? Why was it that God took a cherubim and had flaming swords and would not let them back into the garden where the tree of life is? Why was it that God says, no, you're not going to touch the tree of life. You're not going to eat of it. And the reason you're not going to eat of it, Adam and Eve, is because if you eat of it, you will live forever as an evil individual. You will live forever as a perpetual evil person. You'll know good and evil. You'll continue to live under the cloud of condemnation forever and forever and forever and forever. Your spirit will live forever, vile and wicked like the fallen angels, and you will live forever and forever without redemption because you eat of the tree of life out of order before the Son of God and the last Adam corrects everything. Yet I don't want you to eat of the tree of life, not only because I don't want you to live forever in the spirit, bad, in a bad spirit, a fallen nature, but he does. See, God doesn't want your flesh to live forever. He wants your flesh to die. So you can go at it again. So that you can have another chance. Woo! So that you'll have another chance. Think about what I'm saying. I'm sure you've heard preachers preach, and I've said it myself. I wouldn't ask them to come back if I could because I wouldn't want them to suffer like they've been suffering. I wouldn't want an older person that's, you know, with dementia and they're struggling and their bodies are racked with pain. I wouldn't ask them to come back, not in that nature. No. I would never want someone to come back in the condition of suffering and pain. And God was trying to say, I don't want Adam and Eve and their descendants to live in constant pain and constant insanity and constant condemnation, contamination. I don't want them to live in a body that can't die, but continually is sick over and over again, depressed and sorrowful over and over again. I don't want their flesh to live a perpetual, forever miserable life. So God kicked them out of the garden for their own good. Come on now. I mean, if this is not rowing your boat, you've lost your oars. Hello? Think about it. If Adam and Eve would have eaten of the tree of life, your body has built in it at the time of God creating the first Adam, your body put in, God put in the first Adam's body the ability to heal itself. Even today, your body has the ability in some areas to heal itself unless it's overwhelmed. But think about it. If they were to eat of the tree of life after they had fallen, they'd reached places in their life they wanted to die, but they couldn't die because they would live forever in a sick, insane, depressed, tormented body. God was being good. I mean, God was being good to us when he did that. And so God says, okay, what I'll do is I'll light your spirit of man. I'll redeem you by the last Adam. I'll give you blood. I'll come back and connect to your spirit. I'll connect to you to a born again experience. I'll connect to you in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll seal you, touch you, do that to the last Adam. I'll come to you like a storm over the cross of Calvary. I'll crush the head of the serpent. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you life eternal, and I'll be able to come to that pure blood, and I'll be able to connect with you. And then when you die physically, I'll be able to take what needs to live forever with me. In the glory. When the blood stops circulating, the body dies and the spirit departs. But the blood of Jesus Christ will take you from this dimension to the next dimension. Woo! The blood of Jesus Christ will give your soul life support all the way to glory. The blood of Jesus Christ will take you in his life support through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he'll carry you far beyond Abraham's bosom into the throne room of God, and you'll there await your next body. Here we go. Your body has to die so that God can give you a second chance. Your body has to die because it has contaminated blood. But your soul and spirit does not have to die because of the blood and finished work and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even though you're born again, even though you're a child of God, even though you've been redeemed and you're washed in the blood, and your God's blood is in you and connected to you through the blood of Jesus Christ, even though you're saved, your body still gets old. Your body still is contaminated by the contamination of the sinews and the bones and the muscle structures and your blood, because it's contaminated, and you will die. Thank God we will die. You say, I can't believe you're saying that, preacher. Thank God we will die. You say, I can't believe you're saying that. I'm saying it again. Thank God we will die physically, because I don't want to live in this forever. Woo! You say, well, I do. Then you're a teenager and kind of stupid still. See, I can't believe you said that. I can't either. Now, I just shared with you what I think is one of the great truths that people miss. In fact, I wrote this in a chapter in my book. This is one of the great truths that so many people miss. They say, well, why did God let, you know, why did, was he opposed to them having the knowledge of good and evil? Because he didn't want them in his battle. Now you're in his battle. So he sends the last Adam to win the battle for you. And we live in existence where we get sick physically, we go through hard times. Thank God one day this body will drop and will cease and rise to our everlasting prize in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? I am grateful for the fact that God is going to say to us, let's do that again. Let's just give you another body. Let's just go about this again. And let's go about this by having you redeemed by the last Adam. Let's go about this by changing you forever that you'll never sin again. Let's go about this where you're redeemed from all destruction, all sin and sorrow. Let's just go about it where I can put you in a brand new glorified body. I can put you in a body that never dies. By the way, I'm going to put you in a brand new glorified body because it is filled with the tree of life. Amen. So, well, I have to go home and think about this. I want you to. So, preacher, I don't know. Well, I want you to say I don't know. I want you to go home and study. Go home and look at this. I want you to know that when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, it was mercy. It was God's grace. And he sent them out of the garden so that they could search and look to the last Adam and one day be forever eternally sealed and delivered and redeemed. I found that. How about you? I found the last Adam. Woo, I love him. And by the way, I'm not down on the first Adam. He did what he did, and if it had been you, you'd have did what he did. I'm not down on the first Adam. I hear people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to really have a talk with Adam and Eve. No, if it was you and your lady, you did it too. Probably worse. Amen? Trust me, you men are not married to an Eve. Trust me, you're not. And trust me, you women are not married to an Adam. Trust me. Now, your name may be Adam, but you're an imposter. There's one Adam, the first Adam and the last Adam. Amen? Come on. This is refreshing. I know death is a horrible thing. But please hear me. If Adam and Eve would have eaten of the tree of life, this planet would have seen untold insanity, untold pain and suffering in physical bodies, and total evil everywhere. It was God's only way to redeem us. And I thank God when he sent him out of the Garden of Eden, when he gave Adam and Eve the right foot of fellowship, kicked him out. I believe when the Lord kicked him out of the Garden of Eden, I think he said, we'll try this again. We're going to try this again. But first your body has to die because it's filled with contaminated blood. And that's why we have to die, so that God can give us another chance. Amen? Isn't that good? And you know, you say, yeah, it feels good, but I don't know why you're talking crazy, preacher. It is good. I hope you understand the tree of knowledge of good and evil better now. You know, we used to think, well, what does that mean? God don't want people to know what's good and what's bad. That isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about God is good, Satan is evil. He didn't want Adam and Eve to be sucked into their battle, their war. But they were sucked into their battle because they ate of the tree. And God says, okay. And you said, well, did that take God by surprise? No. Has it ever occurred to you nothing has ever occurred to God? God knew all about it. He had it's all planned out from the foundation of the world. It's all planned out. But Adam and Eve didn't know it. In the plan of God, Adam and Eve were dumb as a box of rocks. God knows some of you got some rocks in your box too. But anyway, the plan of God, they didn't know it. And it wasn't revealed to them until after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were pulled into the battle. And when they were pulled into the battle, they discovered someone has to die. Innocent blood has to be shed. Someone has to connect us back to God. There has to be blood shed, innocent blood. And someone has to connect us back to God. And that someone is Jesus Christ, the last Adam. And all the blood of the bullocks and the doves and all that, pigeons and all the blood of the sheep and the lambs and the goats was all pointing to innocent blood. Now trust me, Judy and I used to have goats. They don't have innocent blood. Goats don't have any more innocent blood than your cat has. Hello. No, all blood's contaminated. Only the precious blood of Jesus can redeem us. Amen? I struggled as what to preach tonight, and I knew that what I was dealing with is so tedious and so, you know, it's just really, what I shared tonight is just really, you know, there's crazy ideas about this. I mean, years ago, I went to a church conference. I don't even like to talk about men's conference right now. But anyway, I went to a conference, and at that conference, they had a special speaker. He was a word of faith preacher. He was a charismaniac. Amen. Charismatic. Going into a world where no man knows. Kind of like Star Trek. And I listened to that man preach, and he preached about the fall of Adam and Eve. And what he said was, is the tree of knowledge of good and evil was not a tree. He said it was a grapevine. You know, I've been around 70 years, and I know the difference between a grapevine and a tree. But he said, and Jack may have been at this conference. It's possible you were there. And I'm not going to say what church or who the preacher was, because I don't even remember the preacher, but I sure remember his stupidity. But anyway, he said the tree was actually a grapevine. And God told him, don't you eat of the grapes, because in the day you eat of the grape, you'll die. And he said, Adam and Eve didn't have no blood. And when they popped one of them grapes into their mouth and popped it, they filled up with blood, contaminated blood. Said Eve took a grape, snap, filled up with blood, contaminated blood. Adam took a bite of grape, filled up with blood. Man, that makes you want to pop a grape in your mouth, doesn't it? The Spirit of God in me said, that is wrong, wrong, wrong. They had blood long before they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it had nothing to do with a grape. But you get all kinds of weird ideas. Let's look at it biblically. Let's just look at it biblically. Who is good? We preached about it Sunday morning. Remember the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus Christ says, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, God. So by Jesus' words himself, he said, there's only one good, and that is God. So if the knowledge of good and evil is the knowledge of God, then evil must, the Lord's prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. God, amen, God's kingdom. So we know that evil is Satan. We know that good is God. So obviously, what God was telling Adam and Eve is, I want you to remain innocent. I don't want you in this conflict. But if you eat of the good and you see my plan and you see what's happening, You're going to meet the conflict. You're going to see lamb sacrifice. You're going to see bloodshed. You're going to see this. You're going to be in the battle. That kind of opens up a new understanding to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, doesn't it? I always had a problem with that. I always had a problem with, you know, poor interpretation of that, because I'm thinking, God wants us what? God wants us dumb? I mean, God doesn't want us to know good. Trust me, Adam knew good before this happened. So did Eve. They knew God to an extent, but they didn't know the battle. They knew evil to an extent, but they didn't know pure evil. And so it makes much more sense to me to read the knowledge of tree of good and evil just simply drags Adam and Eve into a warfare that God didn't want them to have to endure. But they were dragged into it. And they were exposed to it. And you and I have been exposed to evil. And we've been exposed to good. And we have bodies that's going to die. But Jesus Christ connected us by his pure blood so that God can connect once again light. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God lights our candle when we get saved. You can take your hat off now. Remove your chin from your chest, your fist from your chin now, because we're going to give an altar call. And if you think I'm crazy, come up here and pray for me. If you think, preacher, you preach a lot of preaching, but I ain't never heard nothing like this. About time you did, because I believe personally that this is one of the greater truths that God has showed me in many years. It's a great truth. It's an incredible truth. And I'll never look at physical death again the same way, because it must happen in order to go again, to have another chance. And then we can eat of the tree of life. And I'm convinced that our new body will be built and made of the tree of life as well. Perpetual life in the grace of God. Josh, want to bring a song? Hope you've been encouraged tonight. This Wednesday night was worth coming, wasn't it? Amen. Worth coming, worth being a part of the service, learning the things of God, growing in the things of God. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Joe, preacher, do you want to live a long time? Well, I'd shoot for 930 years. As long as I was as healthy as Adam up to it. But I ain't shooting for 930 years if I ain't as healthy as Adam. Adam was built so good. He was built better than a Ford truck. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. Been connected by the blood of Jesus? Has God connected you with forgiveness, eternal life, through the blood of Jesus Christ? Has God connected His Spirit with you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? As the last Adam went to the grave, put away your debt, put away your darkness, raised again from the grave and said, now, let's do it again. Let's try that again. Let's do that again. Isn't that good? Altar's open.